This is Annette Abner, and welcome to Diaspora Talks. Diaspora Talks is a podcast connecting Africa's fastest growing businesses with the diaspora. Who are Africa's most exciting businesses? Who are the entrepreneurs behind the brands? Where are the opportunities for us to invest? I started this podcast to bridge the gap between the diaspora and Africa by telling the stories of African founders globally. You can hear these stories on Spotify, Apple, SoundCloud, and all other major podcasting platforms. Stay tuned. Many of us in the diaspora are keen to invest in Africa. The challenge for us is how? How does one invest in Africa's growth? What do we invest in? Where are the opportunities? And where can we get the best advice? In this episode, I'm speaking to Gerard Alyssa Asher, who is the co-founder of the Diaspora Angel Network. DAN is a UK-based business angel network of angel investors who live in the diaspora but want to engage in the burgeoning African startup ecosystem. So although this episode will not constitute financial advice, we'll be exploring ways in which the diaspora can invest in Africa with a particular look at angel investing and Africa's tech ecosystem. So without further ado, welcome to Gerard. Welcome to Diaspora Talks. How are you?
I'm very well, Annette. Thank you for having me on. Delighted to be here.
Of course. I'm really excited to have you, simply because I think this is a topic that is very much on the minds of many of us in the diaspora, and that is, you know, investing in Africa. We've heard so many stories about and headlines about, you know, especially the tech ecosystem in Africa, startups in Africa, seeing all these headlines. But as I said, the question is, how do we get involved? But of course, before we get into all that, it'll be good to hear a little bit more about yourself and your background and how you've got to where you are today.
Thank you. A bit about myself. I'm Nigerian, born in the UK, but I've lived about, you know, 15 or so years of my life in Nigeria as well. So I've got a very good flavor of what Nigeria is like and growing up there. But I spent more of my life in the UK.
Right.
You know, came back to the UK when I was old enough to start working as a teenager. I worked here, you know, started off doing all sorts of jobs as you typically do when you're off the boat, as it were. the good thing is that I had very good education back home in Nigeria, and I used that to get into technology, into IT. Started off doing some of many exams that we had to do at the time back in the day, but very quickly grew that career and, you know, become from an IT support person to a service manager and managing teams and helping businesses, you know, define what technology solutions they should use. In the last 7 years or so, I've then moved into cybersecurity consulting.
Right, okay.
And that's what I do as a day job, in effect. So I've got my own cybersecurity consulting, which we provide cybersecurity advisory services to small and medium-sized enterprises across the UK.
And what's the business called?
It's called CyberBridge Group.
Amazing. Okay, yeah. Great.
And that's what I do. But in 2017, I got the privilege of going to George Business School to do an executive MBA. Mm-hmm. And it was my time there that angel investing, you know, was the first time I heard about angel investing. And, you know, that's where the journey started, pretty much from an angel investing perspective. But the background is technology and obviously cybersecurity. And I've got a very keen eye for, you know, the strategy of building businesses,
right.
and that's also a pet passion of mine, helping mentoring people to do that as well.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you for sharing your background. I think that definitely feeds into the conversation, simply because you are someone in the diaspora. You know, as you mentioned, you were born in the UK, spent time in Nigeria, and you've built a quite successful professional career. And now you have gone into angel investment. And I think for many people listening, this is the stage that they're at the moment, you know, probably born in the UK, US, etc., possibly even back home, but now residing in the diaspora and have built their careers, but are now looking to invest and possibly through angel investing. So I'd like to go into that now. Yeah. What exactly angel investing is? Now, I've got a definition from Investopedia, which I'll share just to paint the picture. So according to Investopedia, an angel investor, also known as a private investor, seed investor, angel funder, is a high net worth individual who provides financial backing for small startups or entrepreneurs, typically in exchange for ownership equity in the company. Now, I guess that's a textbook definition. So I guess my question to you is, how exactly have you managed to get into angel investing and, of course, set up your own network, which is the Diaspora Angel Network? And is this type of investing really at reach for many of us in the diaspora? Many of us wouldn't actually, you know, describe ourselves as high net worth individuals. But is this possible for us?
Good question. I was smiling as you were reading out that definition. Quite a few people I know meet that definition, but I also know there's a new trend of angel investors that don't quite meet that definition, particularly when it comes to Africa. So, you know, we look at angel investing as ecosystems. You've got the Silicon Valley ecosystem, you've got the Oxbridge ecosystem, and you're getting ecosystems being built across Africa. You know, obviously the ecosystems in the West, the Silicon Valleys, etc., are a bit more mature. That definition would perfectly suit those guys, you know. So these are generally people who have had a very successful career in consulting, probably in investment management, PE firms, you know, they've built, you know, millions and millions of cash stocked up, you know, from deals that they've been doing over the years. And they've decided to go into angel investing, you know, pouring some money into startups coming up. And then you've got the new investors who are, you know, startup founders, you know, that have built companies, sold companies, and now begin to invest in companies themselves. So entrepreneurs turned angel investors. So the typical definition of angel investing suits one of those two people. So career, you're semi-retired pretty much, and you know you're doing some good and investing some money, or you're an entrepreneur, you built a business, you're successful, you've sold it off, and now you're building other businesses by putting money into it. But what you're finding, particularly when you come to nascent ecosystems like Africa, you're finding that we don't have too many of those people that fit into that bracket. So and someone needs to bridge that gap.
And more and more,
yes, you're finding you will get angel investors. Maybe not many entrepreneurs turned angel investors. Now there are one or two that have done well. I'm sure you heard about the Stripe deal recently.
I wouldn't
be surprised if Shola becomes an angel investor tomorrow, you know, with the amount of money he would make from that deal. But to bridge that gap, what you're finding is people with spare capital. Now, the thing about angel investing is it's a very risky asset class. So it should not be your primary asset class. Now, that's the big underlining, fundamental point that needs to be clear. Angel investing should not be your primary asset class. Some people argue it should only be sub 10% of your portfolio of investments. So when you think about it that way, you would find that you have to have a reasonable amount of money to have more than 10% to be able to invest in this very risky asset class. So that's why it then tends to turn to those guys that have got more money. But more and more, you're finding young professionals in investment banking, in different areas of industry in the UK, the US, etc., that are earning six-figure salaries and even six-figure bonuses. And these individuals are able to put some money aside. And the ticket sizes, it comes up, and then it comes to ticket sizes. You know, ticket sizes in Silicon Valley, Oxbridge are generally higher. So whilst that might be prohibitive for a young investor trying to, you know, feel their way around angel investing, for example, it's very difficult to you to get a ticket of $10,000 or £10,000 in the UK, you know, to get engaged in an angel investing round. But if you take that same £10,000 or $10,000 to Lagos, you know, that it's quite significant and will go quite a longer way.
Lots of impact, yeah.
Yeah. So what you're finding is that you're getting younger people or people who are not necessarily you would call high net worth individuals participating in angel investing now. But the premise, and I can't emphasize this enough, the premise is that it is not your only asset class. It's in fact less than 10% of your investment portfolio, and you have some understanding of what the risks are. So in the UK, they say you're either a sophisticated investor or you are a high net worth individual. And those are the two, generally two yardsticks they use in measuring who should go into angel investing.
Got it. And that sounds really promising, because it sounds like, because, you know, Africa is, like you mentioned, at that nascent stage, it's quite new. There is an opportunity for more of us to get involved and invest. But like you've emphasized, this is something that it shouldn't be your only, investment opportunity. You should be diversifying in general. Just touching on that asset class, because what we're talking about is startups. And of course, investing in a startup at any stage, but especially at the early stage where angel investors will come in, is especially risky. That's right.
Absolutely. Spot on. You know, I joke about when I say this, angel investing itself is very risky. You know, you're coming in at a very early stage of a startup. Now, that's really ridiculously risky on its own. You don't take that, you take it to Africa, which is probably one of the riskiest geographical regions in the world. And then what do you get? Risky upon risk upon risk. You really have to know what you're doing. But on the flip side, the rewards are so much more. And I don't think there is so much. There is many places in the world where you get the kind of opportunities you get in Africa, because there is so much room for innovation, so much room for growth, so much room for a lot of bright ideas. So if you play your cards properly, if I should say, then, you know, there are chances that you could build a profitable portfolio.
Yeah, no, thank you for that, Jared. And do you know, we will get into the opportunities, but what I want to touch on is your experience. So like you mentioned, your background, you've done an MBA and now you are heading up a cybersecurity business. But of course, you are the co-founder of the Diaspora Angel Network. So tell me about that journey. What sparked that, I guess, light bulb moment where you thought, you know what, I want to begin angel investing in Africa and setting up this network?
Good. It started when I was in Cambridge doing the EMBA. As part of that journey, I got the opportunity to, I wouldn't say get involved, but it was getting involved, even though I didn't invest at the time. But I got an opportunity to be aware of an investment round that was going. So there was a startup based in Spain. They wanted to build out a platform, a technology platform, you know, focusing on the Latin American market. And I got an opportunity to have some conversations with them, do a bit of toeing and throwing. And when it came to investing, the ticket size was just too big for me. At the time, they were looking at minimum 50,000. And, you know, going to my point earlier on, if I'm thinking I need to build a portfolio of 20 startups, right, you know, going in at 50,000 for each one, you know, that's a lot of money. And, you know, I'm successful, but, you know, I'm yet to have 10 million sitting aside just for investing. But I declined that opportunity. I couldn't get involved because of the ticket size. What it did, it sparked something in me. I've always been one to want to give back. So I look at angel investing from two aspects. It's putting in money and putting in your experience, mentorship, you know, and we call it funds, not just funds, but fund and mentorship, or the two M's, money and mentorship, is what we provide. So that sparked something inside of me. I went off and I said to myself, you know what? Let's see what we can do. So I kind of joined the Syndicate Room. And if you know Syndicate Room, if you don't know Syndicate Room, it's a platform where angel investors can go in, fill out the necessary questionnaire or forms, become a member, and you can join different syndicates and go into investment and investing in deals. But a lot of those deals are based either in the UK or in the US.
Right.
So I tried that for a bit, but I wasn't getting the impact I thought. And the deals I was seeing, whilst they were great, I just really couldn't relate to, oh, we've got this new cool technology that's going to take us into space and do something in space, you know. Now, whilst that's great for some people, I just couldn't relate to that.
Yeah.
Not the only deals I was seeing. But, you know, I'm just trying to explain, you know, the innovation that's happening in the West, in the UK and in the US is slightly different from, you know, what's happening on the continent. We're trying to solve some real basic challenges on the continent versus we're looking to innovate and build upon what we've built, what's been built over years in the West.
Exactly, yeah.
I did some more digging about, and I usually say stumbled on a gentleman called Tommy Davis whilst I was doing my research, an angel investor in general. So happened that this gentleman was a Nigerian. You know, he'd started up the Lagos Angel Network. And I said to myself, ah, there you go. I never knew these guys existed. So I reached out to them, became a member of the Angel Network, the Lagos Angel Network. And I've since become, you know, a mentee of Tommy Davis himself. So he mentors me because he's the president of the African Business Angel Network. He's a founder of LAN. He's done amazing stuff, you know, in the ecosystem. So I've learned a lot from him. And, you know, as part of that, I started getting the impact that I wanted, that I was missing with those other deals that I was seeing in Oxbridge and in Silicon Valley. And I started getting real impact. And I felt, you know, my money could go a lot further in that part of the world. So that's how I chose Africa. That's how I got involved. I saw the dynamism, you know, when you touch down in Lagos and, you know, you go and see these entrepreneurs, you know, you see the ecosystem, you see what's going on. There is such a buzz. And for me, it was just exciting to be there. Now, we completely understand, we may come up to this, but, you know, we're segueing why we decided to pick up the form the Diaspora Angel Network was we just wanted more people to get engaged in what we call the African opportunity. And that's how I got into it and chose Africa as, you know, the first point of or the more importantly, where we would like to go and, you know, contribute to the development of the continent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I love that, you know, the African opportunity. And I think a lot of people can relate to really wanting to make an impact with their investment beyond just, of course, money is important, but seeing their money go even further is something that is very significant to a lot of people. Are you able to share any of the investments that you have made in the ecosystem? And have you so far only invested in Nigerian startups?
So before I came on the call, I did ask just to make sure I was able to, you know, share, give out some details. and I can't give because bearing in mind, you know, these are startups, right? So I can give names, but I can't give figures. And that's just because, you know, these guys are probably going to go and do rounds later on. So you want to keep that close to your chest as close as possible. But definitely one that we went in. So I've been investing before we started Dan. So there are some prior to Dan investments that I've made, and one of them being, you know, Credit Wallet. So Credit Wallet is a platform in Nigeria. They offer online lending to a very niche market of customers in Nigeria. And, you know, they've just grown, you know, incredibly in the last, you know, I got in towards the end of 2017. I think it was November 2017 I got in. And, you know, the growth rate is, you know, if I said they've grown 1,000 times since that time, I think I will not be doing them enough justice. They've done incredibly well. And they're building a great company. They say they're still in stealth mode, which I find fascinating because they're just doing so much and they're growing so much in terms of the loan books, the revenue that's coming from that company, and not just that, the company that they're building in terms of the culture. And that's an incredible company, and I see that going, you know, doing a lot more things in the next year. So they plan to come out of stealth mode next year, and 2021 will be the year that they launch into the public. You know, if you've got a loan book of about 3 billion naira, which equates to, my maths fails me now because the rate changes every so often.
Of course,
That's somewhere around the 5 million mark, if I'm correct, in terms of, you know, loan book size. And this is a company that started off with probably about, you know, $20,000-$30,000 loan book 2 years ago. So from 20,000 to 5 million in the space of 2.5, 3 years, you know, that's just incredible achievement. And, you know, they're looking to do greater things. So that's one of them. Another one that I invested in, and we're still working our way through, and, you know, a gentleman called Ikenna, he's Caller Credit, and basically what he's trying to do, what he has built really, is the Claire score for, you know, Nigeria.
Interesting. So
it's basically a matchmaking platform that matches people with good credit scores or early credit scores with consumer products or lending products that fit their credit profile, but with an added thing of educating the users and helping those users build their credit score. When you go to a market like Nigeria, people don't even know what a credit score is. Very few people do. And very few, it's not the bedrock of the society because they don't have a real good credit infrastructure like we do in the West. But the building on that, I see that particular Caller Credit as a long play because, you know, whilst that whole credit infrastructure is being built in Nigeria and indeed on the continent, what you're beginning to find is that there will be relevance for people like Caller Credit who then help educate people, help people build their credit score, and also help people gain access to credit when they need it. That's another one that I've invested in, which is really exciting. And these were pre-diaspora angel network.
Right.
Just going to touch on one more, and then I'll come back to your question about Nigeria only.
Sure, sure.
One more is Trove Finance. That's a Dan investment. We did that earlier on in the year, our very first investment at Diaspora Angel Network. And Trove is basically giving, you know, Nigerians today and hopefully Africans, you know, over the next few years across Africa, access to stock markets in the West. You know, so there's no reason why, you know, a young gentleman who's, say, working for the Federal Ministry of Finance and growing his way up in his career, there's no reason for him to not say, right, you know, I want to invest in Amazon.
Yeah.
How can I do that? You know, pick up my phone, open up my app. Oh, okay, Amazon is going at this and I want to invest. Here's some money. Even if it's 0.00% of Amazon, but hey, it's 0.00 of a share of Amazon. Hey, you know, that's good for him. So what they're really trying to do is bridge that gap between everyday people in Nigeria and giving them access to stock markets that are, you know, otherwise, you know, beyond their reach. And at the same time, helping people in the diaspora go back into Africa. So if I wanted to buy bonds in the Nigerian stock market now, which are giving me much better rates than I'll get anywhere else. But when you consider the FX risk, you know, it's probably not as attractive as it seems. But in any way, it's probably still better than any interest rate you get in
the world. Right, yeah.
You know, that gives me the opportunity to get involved in that space as well. And that's what Trove Finance does. So, you know, all these individuals, they're building really great things. But for me as an angel investor is having relationships with the founders. That's for me one of the biggest, you know, bits that I really enjoy. These are smart young men doing some really great things who have grit and who are determined and who are trying to build products that would create real value for Africans. And that really excites me working with them.
Yeah, definitely.
And finally, to come to your question about Africa, no, I haven't invested outside of Nigeria yet. And that the Diaspora Angel Network really is that the main focus of the Diaspora Angel Network is to bring the diaspora together and to reach all parts of Africa. My first deal in Kenya is probably going to close in the next few weeks. We're just doing the due diligence now. And we're hopefully, you know, in the next 2 to 3 weeks, we should have closed that deal. But that's an exciting one. That's our very first deal outside of Nigeria. And the hope is that we get more and more deals coming through our partners in those countries. We've got 4 hubs at the moment. We've got the Nigerian hub, we've got the Kenyan hub, we've got the South African hub, and we're looking at building out the Tunisian hub. So that's north, south, east, west. And the idea is to get deals from those hubs. Eventually, what we hope to do, and very quickly, hopefully next year, is begin to build out into other countries in those 4 regions of Africa. So whilst we're looking at our first deal now, the intention is to have, you know, Pan-African angel network that does anywhere in Africa and not limited to certain areas.
Yeah, sounds incredible and definitely what we need. You know, there was a few things that you touched on there that I wanted to pull out. So when you were describing the amazing startups that you've already invested in, what I noticed is that a lot of these ideas aren't novel. You know, that these are things that here, most of us in the West are familiar with. So credit and the stock market, etc. We have these opportunities already. Yeah. But what it really illustrates is that there is so much opportunity on the continent to build things from the ground up within the African context. So that is where the impact is. And it's really quite exciting. The second thing that I noticed about what you said was all of the startups so far have been fintechs. And I guess I'll ask you the question of, you know, why that is. And of course, from your background, that would probably be an indication. But it sounds like for many people who are following the startup ecosystem, we know that, you know, the fintech industry in Africa is one that is growing exponentially and, you know, is one of the most well-funded. So in 2019, I believe, fintech startups raised about 320 million from VCs and it's going in the same trajectory this year. And we mentioned Stripe, Stripe's acquisition of Nigeria's Paystack, and that was a 200 million deal. And you know, that was groundbreaking for the continent because it was one of the first of its kind on the continent. And acquisition, that is really an indication that, you know, the African continent is viable because there are exits and people and investors like yourself can see the end that, you know, there will be returns. So that's an incredible thing. And finally, you mentioned about the fact that as an angel investor, it's twofold, you know, it's money and it's also mentorship. So I wanted to ask you as well, as an aspiring angel investor, what is the best way that, you know, an angel investor can offer their mentorship and their experience? So it's not just funding.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point and good question. The mentorship thing tends to lose or doesn't get the attention or focus it deserves. And there are a number of reasons for that. The first one is, depending on where you're coming in at, as a mentor, you have limited time. So if you've got 10 startups and 10 founders that you're working with, Imagine meeting those 10 founders every week. So that's 10 meetings, 10 hours a week.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, if you've got a 9-to-5 job as well or something you do during the day, you know, it just becomes really difficult. And the average recommendation for a startup, for an angel investor, is to have 20 portfolios. So imagine times that by 20. So then itself becomes a challenge, right? And then the flip side, from the entrepreneur's side, a lot of times, you know, they're in a position where, you know what, I need you for money. I need him for advisory. I need her for mentorship. And I just need her for a shoulder to cry on, you know. So they kind of figure out, you know, their own little ecosystem, where they go to for different things. And usually, you know, the person that gives them the money usually is not the person they want to come to for you know, either mentorship or advisory. Mm-hmm. So that's usually a challenge. Just as an aside, there's a deal that we're looking into. In fact, we just completed that deal. I didn't say it's an ed tech platform, and maybe I should have said that so that you realize it's not all fintech.
Yeah.
We just invested in Gradely very quickly. Gradely is an ed tech platform in Nigeria as well. I think they were on CNN recently. And we're literally just closed that deal. But we're having a conversation whilst we're going through that whole process. And for very good reasons, the founders were not ready to have an advice, well, to have a board, to give us a board seat as part of our deal. So that's where they started off. You know, they were very happy to give us observatory. And one of the initial angel investors that wanted to invest, you know, took offense to that because, you know, from her perspective, if you're coming to me for money, you should also be coming to me for the mentorship. And right. That's why I'm doing this. So I can't just give you the money and, you know, you're pretty much telling me, give me your money. We'll call you if we need mentorship, but we really have other people that we're looking to. And they had very good reasons for doing that, you know. But these are the, you know, in practice, these are the things that you have to really deal with as an angel investor.
Interesting. Okay.
So in effect, what happened in that particular situation or the example I was trying to portray is that you've got founders who did not necessarily, as much as you want to give them that mentorship, they don't want that from you. And you can't force mentorship down people's throat. That's not the way it works. You know, yeah. People usually come to you for mentorship. Now, there are one or two deals where you find that and it's very sweet because they want the mentorship and the money. So I've got one or two of those, which is great. But for how the mentorship should work, what we're trying to do as a Diaspora Angel Network is really have some sort of calendar, mentorship calendar. And what we're doing is actually trying to give people certain hours during the week, just block those hours. So we try to do between 1 and 3 hours. Block those hours and then match make those hours to our portfolio of startups. So what you're finding is that I may not necessarily have invested in that startup, but I might have an opportunity to mentor the founder if they want to. And that's something we're trying to build out. But what I do tell angel investors at the same time is even if you're not investing or you're not mentoring your founders that you've invested in, there's so many other founders that might just want you to mentor them. So the places like the Founders Institute, where you could go in and become a mentor. And I believe VC4A is one of those platforms where you can, you know, register as an angel investor and a mentor. There's another platform that the name escapes me now, but they're building out a really good platform where you can go on and mentor entrepreneurs who are just starting up, and entrepreneurs can come on the platform and get some mentorship. So there are the channels to actually give back that way. It just may not necessarily be the startup that you're putting your money in.
Right.
Sometimes, but other times it could well be, which is, you know, when you're really happy and it's really sweet, you know, you've got the mentor, you give mentorship and you're giving money at the same time.
Yeah. I think that's a really good insight into how it actually works, because, you know, people have an idea before they go into it. And I can imagine, as you mentioned, your colleague who was disappointed that she couldn't mentor. Maybe she had an idea of exactly what an angel investor needed to be and how the relationship needed to be, but in reality, maybe a bit different. So that is super helpful. And yes, so the also the point about your network, you know, I think I'm starting to see the benefit of, you know, the angel network, because of course, like you said, there are many different voices and expertise and experiences within one network that can support a startup. And you mentioned that you're looking to expand it to make it pan-African, so Kenya and Tunisia, etc. I wanted to know your opinion then on the idea of diversity in Africa, because there's actually an issue when it comes to the types of founders that are being funded, for instance. So in Kenya, for instance, there's been a huge debate around what types of founders are getting the most funding. And when you look at the stats, unfortunately, it's much less women and also not Black founders. So in your opinion, do you think angel networks such as your own are the way to get more diversity into the ecosystem?
I would love to think so. Yes, you know, in effect, you know, this is a significant challenge. I think diversity is a big challenge with whatever ecosystem you go into. Even in the UK, you know, that, you know, you're finding that more young men, particularly young white men, are getting investments, even, you know, more so than young white ladies. Even worse off are the young Black men or Black ladies, you know, who come almost like further down the chain. And I think it's a massive problem that everyone's aware of. In my opinion, and I've said this over and over again, especially recently, you know, with the whole movement of the Black Lives Matter, invest in Black investors, etc. Mm-hmm. You know, the two fundamental things need to happen. You know, on the angel investing or / investor side, they need to be prepared to come out of their comfort zone.
Right.
Let me paint you a picture just to give people some understanding of how ecosystems work. As we said earlier on, angel investing is very risky business. No one goes into an angel investing to lose money, right? And you would guarantee you that you will have deals, more deals where you lose money than you actually make money, guaranteed, right? So the way you build your ecosystems and you build systems, particularly that word systems, you create systems to de-risk your investment. And the way to do that, or the way that's been done for a long time, is to have a group of people that you trust. So if you came to me through Annette, well, I know Annette, she's a very reasonable lady, you know, if she says this thing is good, then there must be some truth in it. You know, I understand her. I we think on the same level. Great.
Right. It's that networking, who you know, isn't it? And who you can trust.
Exactly. And there's a reason for that. And let's not forget the reason for it. So as opposed to just, you know, looking at saying, well, the networks are wrong, you know, don't have those networks. Let's try and go past that and try and understand, why do we have those networks in the first place? And the reason why you have those networks is not because I just want to, you know, work with people I like. It's what gives me more confidence that this is going to be a success, ultimately. Now, those guys and those ladies in those systems need to, first of all, come out of their comfort zone. That's the first thing. They need to realize, right, okay, I need to step out of this. It may mean me taking more risk, but surely there are very good ecosystems who have more Black people, more ladies that are actually de-risking their own investments. So why don't I work with those people? Why don't I partner with those people? So whilst I might not be able to understand, you know, the context of, you know, that environment, but there are people in there anyway that are doing that. So all I need is a relationship, a connection with those other ecosystems. And on the other side, you know, you have to have, you know, the the female entrepreneurs and the black entrepreneurs, they need to be more comfortable coming out of their own comfort zone, because it's a two-way street. You know, there's always this story about, you know, a black person walks into the room and the first person he or she looks out for is the other black person, you know, and they cozy up together and start talking. Now that's great, you know, but, you know, to some extent you need to be comfortable enough to step out and say, right, okay, I'm going to go and talk to these people. I don't care what they say, but I'm going to have my word anyway and let them know that, you know, I'm here to play this game as well. And I could earn them more money than, you know, their other mates or other people from their ecosystems. Right. So I think those two things need to happen to help bridge that gap. But Diaspora Angel Network, I think the first thing we're trying to do is bridge the gap between the diaspora and the African opportunity.
Right.
As you begin to realize is that we are quite, I wouldn't say limited, but the amount of deals we see right now are majority fintech, majority male founders. Thankfully, because of the way we set ourselves up, they're all black founders. I think I've only spoken to two white founders since I've been doing this, since May this year. But all of them, all the others have been black founders. Yes, more men than women. I've spoken to a couple of women, but more men than women. But that's because I have almost created that ecosystem for Diaspora Angel Network to de-risk our investments in the continent. So I've built partnerships with certain organizations. So to an extent, I would only look at deals that come through those organizations. Or if you come from outside those organizations, I refer you to someone in those organizations to say, right, okay, this guy or this lady has come to me. What do you guys think? So for me, for now, we're mainly working with the deals we see. We're not at liberty, not just yet anyway, to dictate what kind of deals we see, because, you know, we work with partnerships with partners. We are hoping that, you know, in the next 12 to 18 months, the network will be so mature, we would have the right infrastructure where we could just say to people, because if you go to our website today, you can't submit a pitch, and that's deliberate, because we don't want pitches from our website, because we don't have the infrastructure to vet those deals, validate those deals, and actually invest in those deals.
Right.
But we're hoping we get there in about 12 to 18 months, and when we do, then we can pick make sure that there is the right level of diversity across, you know, our founder network, which is, I think, is a very important point and thing to do.
Okay, sounds good. Amazing. I guess my last two questions for you then would be, firstly, so we've mentioned fintech quite a lot, but I wanted to know from you, you know, what are you excited about in the African tech ecosystem? You know, what are the emerging opportunities that you're really looking forward to in, I guess, the next year to 18 months? And secondly, as a founder listening to this who is looking to approach angel investors, what advice would you give to them?
Okay, cool. How long have you got for what I'm excited about? I'm excited about a lot of things on the continent. You know, like I said before, there are so many things that we need to, there's so many gaps that exist today. Whether it's because, you know, we haven't invested enough in infrastructure, or we just haven't had we've not encouraged the talent to come up and do those things. There's just so much to do. But that, as you begin to realize, you know, we are very technology focused. So it has to be a technology enabled business, because we feel it is technology enabled businesses that could scale to the point where you could get your 10x in, you know, 5 to 10 years. You know, it's only technology, not only, but mainly technology that can help you scale that quickly. So what we tend to look at is technology enabled. So you've got, you know, fintech is obviously an obvious one, because, you know, a lot of people are underserved in the financial space, you know, globally, let alone Africa. But what we're also seeing is education technology, particularly with COVID and everything else going on. there are a few organizations coming up that are doing some exciting things. Not when I say exciting, not so exciting that you haven't heard of them before, but exciting in the fact that they could bring that product together and deliver that product in an environment like, you know, Kenya, or an environment like Ghana, an environment like Accra, with all the challenges, you're able to still innovatively bring that product, which would otherwise be a normal, you know, standard product, but bring it in innovatively, bring that together and deliver that to the end customer. So it's quite interesting being in the cybersecurity space. You know, I am very big on cybersecurity. Unfortunately, people are, from what my experience, it's not very very exciting for some people. So I don't see many deals. I haven't seen any deals. I had to go on Twitter to ask, is anyone doing anything in cybersecurity in Africa? Before I got, you know, three or four responses. But, you know, cybersecurity for me is a big place. It's a big space, and it's going to get huge potential, huge rewards for anyone that can innovatively build a product that is tailored to Africa. You would get amazing returns from that, because there's just so much scope within the cybersecurity space. Something else we're really excited about is insurance. Insurance is just not, you know, insurance technology. There's a huge void, huge amount of people, especially below the pyramid. And there's a startup we're looking at the moment who are aiming to serve that market, the bottom of the pyramid, aiming to serve that market in the insurance space. So those are the key areas. I'd say, you know, fintech, yes, you would always be excited about fintech just because of how much you can, yeah, you know, how quickly you could grow if you get it right. But more importantly for me is the insurance technology, edu technology, also cybersecurity. And then obviously you have the agri-tech and all of that. But, you know, I don't know much about agriculture. So for me, I can't, you know, really get excited. Whilst I know the potential, I don't know much about the space to actually get excited about that. But I know there are people doing some really, really innovative things in that space. And I think next to fintech, they're getting the most funding, if I'm correct, on the continent. Or at least in terms of numbers, the numbers of startups, they're very close second to fintech.
Yeah. And what about, so what I'm getting is then, if you are in insurtech, if you're in cybersecurity, that is something that, you know, Jared is obviously excited about. So this could be your opportunity. But even going into that, what advice would you give to founders then who are looking to connect with angel investors, not necessarily just the Diaspora Angel Network, but generally?
There's a gentleman that, you know, I know, and he's a founder. And for me, he's the model entrepreneur that you want, because I've had a number of conversations with him. So the reason why he comes to mind is that my first advice to any founder, the day you decide to do something, look for one or two advisors, mentors, preferably angel investors, so people that know the ecosystem, people that know, particularly in the market that you're trying to. So if you're building a product for Nigeria or you're building a product for Ghana, get a Nigerian, get a Ghanaian, an angel investor, a Ghanaian or a Nigerian in that market that actually invests in that market. Don't go to him for money. Just go for him for mentorship. For me, that is so valuable, because what that relationship would do for you is so much more down the line. Where you would get it wrong is if you spend so much time trying to build something and you come up with an MVP and you come up with something and then you put together a really nice pitch deck and you throw that out to angel investors. Now, that's the normal way things happen. And by all means, you will get funding if you've got a really great product. But my advice is, once you're starting out as an entrepreneur, have 2-3 advisors, mentors, who are in the angel investing space, in the markets that you're trying to do, just go to them, start talking to them as you build your product. And you would find that you would get a lot of insight and they could open certain doors for you and make your life a lot much easier.
That's really good insight. I'm glad that you touched on that, because I think people focus, of course, rightly so, but focus more on the funding aspect, but there is more to it. So that's incredible. I wanted to end off then. Of course, we're talking mostly about angel investing, but you do have a network. So if somebody wanted, I know you mentioned that you're not taking any inbound from your website at the moment, but in the long term, this is something that you would like to do, and also to build your network of angel investors. So for any aspiring angel investors that would like to join your network or get some more information, what would you say to them?
So what I'd say to you is get in touch. What we're trying to build now is the Diaspora Angel community. So these are not necessarily angel investors, but these are a community of people that would get our notes, our messages, our articles, and who may be invited to our talks, just so that to build that understanding of what angel investing in Africa feels like, you know. And then when you're ready, you can take the plunge to actually become an investor. So reach out, you know, there's a contact form on our website. You can, you know, find me on LinkedIn, you know, drop me a note. And what we're also looking to do, and hopefully in the next 18 months or so, if not less, is build some sort of platform where budding angel investors can begin to invest, but in little sums. So almost like angel crowdfunding into Africa. So what that would do is give you the opportunity to say, right, I'm going to throw in $1,000 into this startup. Let me see what happens, you know, just to test the waters. We you know, that's coming down the pipeline. We're still, you know, months away from that. But, you know, if you join our community, then you get to hear about those things first. So that will be my recommendation. If you've got an idea, you've got an MVP, or you've got a product that you're looking for some money for, by all means, reach out. And whilst we will not necessarily invest directly at this time, what we will do, though, is connect you with people that would be prepared to invest with you.
Amazing, amazing opportunities there. And I will be sharing all of those details in the show notes and on my socials too. But that's incredible. Thank you so much, Dara, for your insight there. As I mentioned, you know, there's obviously a huge Africa opportunity that many of us are keen to get involved in. So it's great to see a network like yours that is bridging the gap.